This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Tuesday, April 21st. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. Seals for non-UPFs get wide support. Fight over tribal water rights returns an Indian trade delegation in D.C. While Assemblymember Jesse Graviel of Encinio has not signed on to the GOP-led Make America Healthy Again agenda, he is pushing forward on his third bill in a series of legislation aligned with the movement. The bill would create a state-backed California certified label for foods that are not considered ultra-processed, molded in part on the federal organic seal. AB 2244 cleared its first policy test last week with a wide coalition of public health groups lining up in support, even as industry groups raise concerns over costs and implementation. Gabriel framed it as the next step in California's broader push on food policy, arguing consumers lack clear tools to identify healthier options. Parents shouldn't need a PhD in chemistry to understand what they're feeding their kids, he said, emphasizing the bill's goal of simplifying complex ingredient information. Supporters said the labeling system would fill a major gap. Alyssa Moran, who directs research on food policy at the University of Pennsylvania, testified that, quote, most people want to limit ultra-processed foods, but struggle to identify them. She added that a simple front-of-package label could meaningfully shift purchasing behavior. Pediatric advocates tied the proposal to raising the rates of childhood obesity and chronic disease linked to ultra-processed foods. The California Grocers Association and the California League of Food Producers cautioned lawmakers on logistics and timing. Grocers warned the bill's preferred placement mandate would disrupt shelf space decisions, override retailer agreements, and add compliance costs that could raise prices or limit product offerings. Food producers argued the proposal moves ahead of key regulatory definitions still being developed under Gabriel's previous bill, creating uncertainty for manufacturers. They also cautioned the label could confuse consumers by implying California origin, potentially disadvantaging in-state producers. The bill cleared its first committee with unanimous backing. The legislature is advancing a bill to require water agencies to factor tribal water equity into policies, permits, and funding decisions. Assemblymember Ash Kalra of San Jose argues AB 2218 is needed because current efforts lack statutory authority and, quote, can be reversed in the future. Tribes and environmental groups frame the proposal as a modest but necessary step toward correcting a longstanding exclusion from California's water rights system. In hearings last week, tribal representatives said the bill would ensure tribes have a seat at the table in decision-making while cautioning that it would not upend existing allocations. California Municipal Utilities Association and the Association of California Water Agencies warning the bill's language remains vague and would create legal uncertainty. They argued it would jeopardize water supply retainability by affecting existing rights and future projects and urge lawmakers to delay action for further review. Lawmakers acknowledge the tension but describe the bill as a first step, reasoning the details will be refined as it moves forward. The bill now has cleared two committees. Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins says the administration is acting, quote, with urgency to bring fertilizer prices down and hinted that further steps may be announced this week. Fertilizer input costs remain a serious challenge for our farmers, Rollins wrote on X yesterday. More coming this week. Stay tuned. We won't be able to fix it overnight, but progress is happening. The administration has already taken some steps to ease price pressures, and that includes easing domestic shipping requirements and loosening controls on Venezuelan fertilizer imports. Urea prices, however, are still up around 80% from the beginning of the year. The administration has been exploring multiple policy options to bring prices down. Rollins told lawmakers last week that the administration is poised to announce an initiative to use tariff revenues to strengthen domestic fertilizer supplies. In the meantime, Reuters reported on Friday that the U.S. is mounting an initiative at the G20 to shore up fertilizer access internationally. Indian trade officials are in Washington as both sides trying to finalize the contours of a trade pact between the two countries. U.S. Ambassador to India, Sergio Gore, called the talks this week a great step forward, finalizing the deal. The meetings also come just a day after U.S. Trade Representative Jameson Greer told lawmakers that opening the Indian market to apples is among the administration's top ag priorities. The Indian media reporting that a delegation of around a dozen officials in Washington through tomorrow. Greer also was in Mexico Monday, meetings in with counterparts there on the forthcoming U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement review. In a joint statement following the meetings, Greer and Mexican Economy Secretary Marcelo Ebrard agreed to begin the first official bilateral USMCA negotiating round the week of May 25th in Mexico City. Senate Agriculture Committee postponing a vote last night to advance Glenn Smith's nomination for USDA Undersecretary for Rural Development. A committee aide told AgriPulse via text that the delay was not because Iowa Republican Senator Chuck Grassley would not be able to attend. Grassley said yesterday in a social media post that he had a procedure to remove gallstones over the weekend but would be back to the Capitol as soon as possible. No new date has been set, according to the aide. Some 215 groups yesterday urging lawmakers to preserve a section of the Dodd-Frank Wall Street Reform and Consumer Protection Act requires financial institutions to collect data on credit for small businesses. In a letter to Congress, the groups urged lawmakers to reject a raft of legislative proposals to weaken Section 1071 of the law, arguing that the data could help shape new lending products to meet the different needs of small businesses and farms. One such bill would delay implementation until 2031, and exempt lenders that make fewer than 2,500 loans in 2 years or have fewer than $10 billion in assets. That, according to a press release from the Americans for Financial Reform, one of the groups on the letter. We are sensitive to concerns about possible regulatory burdens faced by smaller lending institutions. It is equally important to be sensitive to the historic and persistent patterns of discrimination faced by businesses and farm loan applicants, the letter says. Congress enacted this statutory provision 15 years ago, and the government has yet to collect and publish any data because of the fierce resistance to transparency by the lending industry. Here's today's final word. We need an economy that rewards hard work, protects small businesses, and delivers real opportunity, not one driven by political theater. That Assemblymember Jose Luis Solash of Linwood introducing a resolution yesterday calling for refunds for Trump administration tariffs. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Tuesday, April 21st. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Daly.